Welcome to another OU Insider Behind the Enemy Lines. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Tim Watts. It is OU Bama Week. So I'm here with Tim Watts, Bama Online publisher, longtime, one of the biggest Bama, the biggest Bama site, I believe, that there is on the internet, Tim. Known him for a long time, dating back to our 24/7 days. We got to know each other, just so people understand, during the Golding, the DC search, all that type of stuff. You and I kind of became friends in that and just kind of stuck talking to each other after that. And yeah, it's been a long time, man. And
yeah,
now they're playing each other. It's kind of weird that they're in the same conference.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I look forward to this. I love sports so much. The competition, you know, I'd want any team I follow to be playing the tough competition. Alabama's Nate Oates does it. But you can't avoid it in the SEC. When you add Oklahoma and Texas, you're certainly just making it even stronger. So it's very unique for the fans to like experience this. And, you know, I have teams that have never, like Texas went to Mississippi State. That's just a totally different element. Alabama went to Norman last year. Just a total different thing. Norman, Oklahoma's come to Tuscaloosa this year. I love it. It's exciting. I mean, you know, I'm a complete SEC homer, but I think it's justified that we're the best conference with the best players and the best rivalry. So looking forward to it.
And this has kind of turned into, I wouldn't say a rivalry, but there's a respect there between those two programs, right? Like just that you look at the history, similar colors, similar background. You got Bear Bryant and Bud Wilkinson. You've got Barry Switzer, Bob Stoops, you've got Nick Saban, the GOAT, right? Like you've got all these amazing, and then Gene Stallings is kind of mingled in there as well, winning a title or two. Like it's a very historic, you don't want to call it a rivalry, but just a competition. It's iconic. Like this is what college football is about to me. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. When I grew up, I mean, it was, you know, for me, it was USC, Texas, Oklahoma, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, along with the other schools. So that's a school familiar with Billy Sims. You know, I've been following Marcus Dupree. There's a lot of Oklahoma, Brian Bosworth. I mean, there's a lot of my youth spent watching Oklahoma and the excitement that went with them. I mean, they were right there with Miami's another school, FSU. That when I was growing up, that was the ones. But Oklahoma does fall in that vein of where us snobby people say blue bloods. Same, like you said, the uniforms, the history, the championships, the Heismans. Oklahoma has every bit of that tradition. You know, had Lincoln Riley. You know, they had Caleb Williams. I know they both left, but Bob Stoops. They've had so many great players. Heck, Josh Heupel, one of their best players, is coaching Tennessee. So many connections. It kind of feels right. It's a little bit geographically, it seems a little bit wrong, but when you add Texas, Missouri, all those teams, you just kind of extend that SEC and, you know, it's everything you'd want it to be.
Yeah, but as long as you're behind or lower than the Mason-Dixon line, I kind of agree. And you're not in kind of like I-35 East is kind of like where I land on that. With, I guess, just this, you brought up Florida State. So the beginning of the season, OU played Michigan, you know, Texas went to Ohio State, Alabama had that game against Florida State. They didn't look like the Alabama that we all thought they were going to be. Florida State looked like the Florida State we all assumed they were going to be. Now they're not. What changed for Alabama at that point? Like, did you know the program better than anybody. You've got sources within inside there. So what changed from that Florida State game to where they are now, where they're viewed as, there's some people that think they might be the best team in the country?
I think that's just the learning curve. I mean, Florida State, you had no film to really watch them. They had 40 transfers. They had new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator, a new quarterback. I thought they played well. Alabama just could never find their footing. It was Ty's first start. Look, I've said this a million times. You cannot teach experience. You learn on the job. You get smashed in the face. You pick yourself up. You pull dirt clods out of your face mask. That's how you figure out the quarterback position. That's kind of what happened that day. Alabama never really, they made a little bit of run, you know, never felt like they really were taking control of that game despite starting 7-0. But for me, I think it's a confidence factor with the quarterback. I think Bama used that as motivation. to get better. They thought they were better. The coaching staff thought they were better than that. And I mean, it's college football, and we say this every day on the BOL message board, is I think the ones who've adjusted the best to college football as it is now is people that follow the NFL, because this is basically the NFL. I mean, you see this weekend, it was Oregon pulling out a victory at Iowa. You saw Indiana beating a Penn State, don't even have that, lost their head coach. These games every week, there's so few plays that decide these games. Oklahoma's a great example. It looked like Tennessee was going to walk them off the field, and then David Stone, who was that that returned the touchdown? Not David Stone.
You talking about, R. Mason Thomas. Yeah. Well,
Yes, I
yeah.
mean, just an incredible play like that can flip a game. So these games are so volatile that kind of flipped that whole game. So in
Yep.
Alabama, a couple of turnovers gave up a big play, gave up a big screen when they cut that to seven. So you've got opportunities, and the teams that win these games tend to capitalize on those, and the ones that don't come up a little bit short.
Alabama is, particularly back in the Saban days, was synonymous with running the football, running the football, running the football, just hard nose. They would get you out. And obviously they adjusted, went to the spread a bit, but it wasn't the typical spread. It's a lot like, what Oklahoma runs with. There's a lot of, NFL aspects built into that spread that Saban always had his OCs run, Kiffin, Sark, all those guys. The run game has been a little up and down for Alabama. Can you kind of touch on where those issues are? Because Oklahoma did the same thing up until like the last 3 weeks. They couldn't run the ball either. And then all of a sudden it flipped and it turned. But what has it been with Alabama with the up and down running game for them as well?
It's been more down the last couple of weeks. I think they're just seem a little bit off when they try to run the ball. They can't find a really good rhythm. There's been this is a hot topic discussed. Alabama fans, you can come over there and they'll tell you how to fix it. We're all, I mean, hey, everybody's talking about it. Don't get me wrong. Everybody wants to know how to
It sounds
fix
like
it.
OU fans, so don't worry
It's
about it.
just, I mean, I love, yeah. Your fan base is passionate like that, they're going to do that. We've been talking about it. I don't know the answer. I just know that a lot of the plays, there's not holes. They're not hitting the holes faster. Something seems to be off on more run plays. It's been this way for a few years now. Milroe kind of masked those, because he would pull it and run, and he was an elite runner when he had the ball in his hands. But
Yeah.
they haven't been running the ball. I mean, you're definitely right. I mean, they went through a. I mean, you could name 10 running backs who are some of the best in the history of college football pretty easily. That came from Alabama. Right now, it's been a little bit down. They're more of a passing team. They use the extended sideline passes to maybe, as runs. But yeah, I mean, that's the big question. If they could run the ball, it'd make a lot of people happy and probably make things a little bit easier on the quarterback and the
Well,
coordinator.
for sure. Then you look at the passing game with Bernard, right? You got Ryan Williams, obviously Ty Simpson's kind of the lead guy of it. Are they to you, are they a straight down the field throwing team, or are they more pro style, intermediate throws, play action, all that? Tough to play action with no run game sometimes, but what do you think their strength is outside of just Ty Simpson, Bernard, and obviously Ryan Williams, like in their passing game, I guess.
I will say Bama has been. Ryan Grubb's been committed to the run. It's just not seeing the success he probably wants it to see. I mean, I know it's not. I think Ty's a pro style quarterback. I think he's best when he grips it and rips it. It's been another thing discussed a lot is the failure to connect on some of those deep balls. Missed on a couple of them against LSU, especially coming out of the half. He's really good. Ty's extremely accurate, but there are big opportunities he's missed deep. And you're right, he's got some of the best wide receivers in the country. I think Jeremy Bernard doesn't get nearly enough love. This guy does every single thing you want a college wide receiver to do on and off the field. Obviously, you got Isaiah Horton, who transferred from Miami. Ryan, you mentioned, and a true freshman, and Lotsier Brooks. So they have talent and some good tight ends like Jose Cuevas, who doesn't get nearly enough attention. He's really solid, not sexy, but he does so many things. Well, so most of it's vertical, a lot across the middle, a lot on the sidelines, but not as much deep. They've taken deep shots, they just haven't connected on them. And I know that's one thing that probably will be pretty important this week. If they can get a few of those deep balls, it would help out that offense.
You brought up facing Oklahoma's defense, if you're facing OU's defense, you've watched them enough. You've been around Brent Venables' defense enough. Watched him at Clemson. It hasn't changed. They're very, very aggressive. You've seen how Alabama has been successful. You've seen how they've been unsuccessful versus them. If you're Ryan Grubbs, Ty Simpson, how would you attack Brent Venables?
I would attack deep, and you got it starts with protection. I think I would pass. I mean, Venables to me is one of the, I mean, he's probably the best modern defensive play caller. Kirby Smart, I had a lot of respect for him. He does a great job. Dan Lanning, I mean, not Dan Lanning, but Mel Tucker did a good job at Georgia. Those kind of guys are aggressive. Jeremy Pruitt, when he was still in college, did a good job. But Venables has that reputation. You watch him, the intensity, he's smart. I know there's a lot of discussion about other stuff, but that guy knows the game. He knows the game. He's got a lot of senses, instincts come into play for what he thinks is going to happen. He's got a ton of experience, my goodness. So for me, it's you got to protect and trying to hit them in that secondary. I think that defensive line is a problem. That front seven, like you said, they'll heat him up. They're going to bring guys and try to get to him. But everybody's did that against Bama. Mixed results. I think they've kept Ty upright for the most part. But he's definitely going to bring guys. I think you want to get out there. You want to slow them down from attacking. I don't think necessarily screens are the way to go because those linebackers are smart and fast. So I think you try to get down the field and then work your way from out back in with runs, short passes. But I mean, I think it's crazy you're asking me how to attack Brent Venables. Like, I mean, half the coaches of the world tried to figure it out. And you're throwing it on my plate.
I know.
And
Hey,
I
I'm
got
just
your
asking
answers.
your
Like,
opinion.
hey, I got the answer.
You got the answer. Tim Watts has got the answer. Coaches are
Oh,
going to be
man.
clicking on this, falling out. Oh, okay. Let me take the notes here a little bit. But flip side. I think it's Kane Womack is the DC for Alabama. He's been around the state of Alabama forever, South Florida or South Alabama. Did you know that there is a game where he played Ben Arbuckle back in the day?
I think I actually saw that mentioned on the message board. Was it at Southern Miss or somewhere?
No, he was at I think he was at South Alabama. I believe it was in a bowl game, and they were he was I believe Arbuckle was at Western Kentucky.
Oh, they coached against each other.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant played. I was going to say that really is an interesting footnote, but no, I did not know that.
Now, I don't want to quote me on this,
Yeah, it's
but
all right.
I think obviously Western, I think they had Austin, who's at the Bears, or I can't remember. It was one of the two, or oh my gosh, the Bailey Zappi. One of the two was
Oh,
his
yeah.
quarterback. So,
Yeah.
obviously Womack has moved up, like South Alabama. He's been around the state forever. Is the defense growing the way that you thought it would, or at the speed you thought it would at the beginning of the year?
You know, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew they had a lot of guys. I mean, that's not fair. I knew what to expect as far as experience. They had a lot of guys coming back. You had question marks. You had Deontay Lawson, who's really did a good job coming off an injury, looked different earlier in the year. But I mean, again, he's learning on the job after that injury, learning how to play. The linebackers have been consistent. The defensive line has been good. Yanze Pierre has broke out with six sacks. That was kind of unexpected. We knew he had immense talent. He's got six sacks on one edge, and then LT Overton, who everybody knows. For the most part, started Texas A&M. He's on the other edge. So we knew the defense. I thought the offense would carry the team more than the defense, but I feel like the defense is what's kept Alabama in a lot of these games. If you go and look at what they've done, they held LSU to the lowest they've had all this year. I think they held Georgia to the lowest or close to it. Vanderbilt was the lowest, I believe, or in the ballpark of that. They did a good job. They bend a little bit, but keep points off the board. They're really good in that red zone. I'm not shocked they've done so well, but I'm kind of shocked they're carrying the team more. I mean, if you saw the LSU game, they held them to three field goals, including one that they kicked off with a fumble where they were on a short field. So the defenses did what it had to do. And they're aggressive. I mean, I think he's did a good job after that FSU game. They scored 31, and we had a lot, there was a lot of criticism on him. And don't feel it was totally his fault. Don't feel, I mean, that's kind of a team loss. in that FSU game, but they seem to consistently have gotten better heading into this.
They turn the ball over quite a bit, or force turnovers quite a bit. I
Yeah,
think
they do.
16 total or something that's in. I think they're top 10 in
Yeah.
college football, if not higher. That aggressiveness when you attack them, is do you feel like there's a weakness to be attacked if you're Oklahoma going up against Alabama?
I think you want to, if you can establish the run, I think you open up more time for the quarterback, which is the key. I mean, I think it's the basics. You want to protect your quarterback. Alabama's really seasoned this year. They've played a lot of guys that can tuck it and run, and they're facing them again. They got an off week with Nussmeier. I mean, when I was looking at the LSU game, I was like, hey, Nussmeier doesn't even run. That's going to be, they're going to have to change the whole game plan because they're so used to dealing with guys. Georgia went and added a guy that can tuck, and run. So, I think you start with containing him. They have a linebacker, Justin, Alabama has a linebacker, Justin Jefferson, who came back,
Stud,
and I think
yep.
he's used. He's undersized, but he's fast. He gets to the ball. He'll kind of be that chase guy at times for the Sooners quarterback. And then I mean, if you can protect, I mean, it's the normal things, throw down the field, run the ball, run the play clock. I'm curious to see who wins time of possession in this game. I've had a couple buddies telling me they think it's going to be a shootout. I'd be surprised if it was a shootout. But I mean, I've been surprised all year when it comes to college football. But I think it's going to be about more possessing the ball, protecting the ball, possessing the time, and capitalizing when you get a big opportunity.
Okay, so before we get to like the final parts of this, I guess just OU D line back to that a little. OU D line versus Alabama's offensive line. Yeah, you got Brailsford, you got Caden Proctor, you got Proctor's a freak, by the way.
Yeah, he's a weird, he's a different breed.
Yeah, I mean, the lining him up
He
at
looks like a
slot.
little bit like an alien when you see him.
I've seen him in person.
That's a big joker, isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah, that's a
he's
huge
not
human
built like
being.
a lot of us aren't built like him.
No. And yeah, that he's crazy. But they're pretty seasoned on the offensive front. They've given up, I believe, 15, 16 sacks, the same like Oklahoma, 15, 16 sacks with Metier. Is there a worry about Oklahoma's defensive front? Everybody always talks about OU's defensive front and how I think they're second in the nation right now in sacks with, I think, 34, 33, something to that extent. Is there a worry on Alabama's side with that, with, the way that Oklahoma gets after the quarterback and the TFLs? On top of that, they lead the nation in the TFLs.
Yeah, I think it starts with the edge rushing. That's where Bama struggled. But the fans talk. They have struggled with the edge rushing. But Tennessee led the nation in sacks at the time when Alabama played them. South Carolina had edge rushers that certainly pressed. But they got Dylan Stewart, who's an NFL guy. Forget the name of the other guy on the other end. Those are NFL type guys. Oklahoma. So the competition matters. They're not out here playing, local high school team getting beat off
No.
the edge. So, but the worry is the edge coming in the edge. Ty does a good job of stepping up in the pocket. So you really want to keep the nose of that pocket clean. Parker Brailsford's done a good job there. You have that room to step in. But I think the biggest concern is coming off the edge, getting to it, and Ty holding the ball so long. I mean, Ty's got, to me, Ty's the best. If you saw the drive at the end of the half, grip it and rip it, old school. You have a son that's a quarterback. Sometimes you don't want them thinking. You want them to go through their training, trust your play call, trust your training, trust your teammates, close your eyes and sling it to some degree. I wouldn't recommend the close your eyes part, but I mean, sometimes you just take a step. That's when he's made some of his best throws, when you're fearless. And as a quarterback, you've got to be fearless. You're always going to have a rusher. In Oklahoma, you're playing a good defense. You played a really good defense in LSU. You're going to play a really good defense in a couple of weeks with Auburn. They're going to have guys. All these guys have NFL guys on that front line. So, yeah, you don't want them coming off the edge, and you certainly don't want them crashing the front of that pocket. You want them to have somewhere to step, but it's going to be some quick decision making in this one, in my opinion.
I guess finally, real quick, the OU fans that are traveling for the first time to Tuscaloosa, food recommendations, maybe in Birmingham, maybe Tuscaloosa, where they should go.
I mean, it's kind of Tuscaloosa is kind of your regular college town. I mean, if you want something nice, they have places in they have some good Cajun places in Hoover, which will should be no, y'all be coming from Meridian area, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, they'll be.
we're staying in Birmingham over by the airport, but
Okay, well, you if you go through Hoover, they'll have a bunch of places. I always recommend Jay Alexander, which is by the mall. That's a good area. They got a huge mall there. It's basically it's more of a foodie town than Tuscaloosa, although I wouldn't, you know, I love to travel. I wouldn't recommend either as just foodie. I wouldn't tell you to visit just to eat something, but Jay Alexander's is good. They have some nice Cajun places over there. They got all your basics. Firebird's another one. You can just nice, easy
It's a good
sit-down
place.
place in Hoover. Tuscaloosa is just your college town. I have a freshman there. You want chicken fingers and chicken wings? I think he has gained 10 pounds in those. So you definitely can find those like your normal college town.
All right, Tim. Well, I won't ask you to predict the game, but Alabama wins if they do these three things. OU wins if they do these three things.
Man, that's tough. I always want to go to outscore. I mean, I think you protect the ball. I mean, yeah, mine are basically the same for both teams. You want to protect the ball. You don't want to get turned over. You got to capitalize on any big plays if you get an opportunity. You know, I mean, 60-yard plays are as valuable as they get in these type of games. And I think you want to control the clock. I think you want to be on the positive side of time of possessions. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference in these two games. When you get to this stage where you're playing Tennessee, Oklahoma, Georgia, all of them are kind of in the same vicinity of what you need to do to win. And that's the SEC. I mean, protecting the ball is a gimme, right? You don't want to be flipping that field over.
That's for sure. Well, Tim, thank you so much. This is Tim Watch, publisher over at Bama Online. It's $1 for the first week over there at On3. If you want to join them, if you're a Crimson Tide fan, if you're an OU fan, OUinsider.com, $1 the first week, OU Insider over there on three as well. Tim, thank you so much for joining us on this version of the Behind Enemy Lines, Alabama edition. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Safe travels for anybody that's going to be on the road this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You guys have a blessed day.